Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Hi, gang. Now, if you'll all be quiet, we'll start the show.
TMOS Classic. Friday Flashback.
News.
Boo. It's pretty.
Thank you.
Are we doing football today?
Who's ball?
Like reviewing football today?
The picks came in an hour before the show started.
That's right.
I was like, the results.
Yeah, not so great.
So will we do that tomorrow?
Yes.
Mañana with Nikki.
And then we'll also do picks tomorrow because of our travel schedule.
All right. Yeah, get Nikki on. We'll get Nikki.
Okay, we have it.
Did you tell him already that we're not going to
have him? No, I told him. I held off, so we will have him.
Crazy week.
Very much so.
Caitlyn Jenner has been cast on the upcoming 19th season of the British reality show I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. That's the show where a group of celebrities live in a remote place together, kind of like Survivor.
Right.
Even though it's airing in the UK, it's worth mentioning because when pseudo-celebrities do British reality shows, they sometimes end up revealing a bunch of stuff to get attention.
Right.
Caitlyn should be able to handle the camping. She did the American version of the show back in 2003. That was back in the Bruce Jenner days. And the other cast members included Robin Leach, Melissa Rivers, and Chris Judge. I think that show failed.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right?
That's the way
it did not work out.
Yeah, no, a late Robin Leach, Mike.
I think you can tell how popular it's going to be based on our responses. Remember when Mike Tyson bit a chunk out of Evander Holyfield's ear?
Yes,
during,
of course.
The 90s, 97 specifically. They got over that a long time ago. They're cool now. In fact, Evander was just on Mike's podcast, Hot Boxing, with Mike Tyson. And he admitted that Evander Holyfield once bit an ear, too.
What?
He said, not an ear, but he bit a guy.
Oh, okay.
He said, quote, people keep asking, how are you going to forgive somebody? I say, everything that ever happened at some point in time, I did it. Mike bit me. I say, I bit somebody, too. It just wasn't on TV. I bit a guy in his shoulder. He dropped me. And I didn't know when you had a concussion. You'll bite, too. I don't get it.
Yeah, that's why, Mike, I don't listen to Hotboxing. I just get the transcript.
As you know, Tyson is in the pot business now, and he and his co-host discussed making a mold of Evander's damaged ear and making edibles from it. There you go. What a lovely idea.
I was at that fight but left before the bite happened.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I was in that fight in Memphis with one of those HBO deals down to me. No, we saw a lot of great celebrities. We saw Samuel L. Jackson there. But there was a long, long undercard, and Kerry was ripe with child. It was the kind of thing that if, like, 3 more weeks...
Did you really leave before it happened, or did you go in at all?
No, we were there. We were at the pyramid. It was at the Memphis Pyramid.
I can't believe you left a Tyson fight.
Yeah, well, she
before Tyson fought.
Yeah, I know. It was
wow.
Not a great decision.
The bite. A lot of people have strange holiday traditions. Anna Kendrick. I like Anna Kendrick. I like her TV commercials. Her family's no exception. They like to celebrate Christmas by watching football on mute while listening to the Nutcracker. This just made me laugh. She said, we turn the sound off of football and we play the Nutcracker because every now and then it lines up perfectly. I encourage you to do this at home. I might do it. It's so much fun. A football play will align perfectly as the music crescendos. It's really great. Everyone cheers. That's
pretty
just
cool.
Funny.
Yeah.
That's a unique,
it's like watching,
funny story.
Listening to Pink Floyd and watching The Wizard of Oz, but different.
Yeah, you're supposed to line up
yeah,
a few times.
Exactly, right yeah.
When you load a dishwasher, should you put in the silverware so it's pointing up or down?
I have a strong opinion about this.
Or does it even matter? Someone tracked down as close to an expert on the topic as they could find. A guy named Ashley Iredale has a degree in industrial design, and he makes a living writing about appliances like dishwashers and washing machines. According to him, it does matter which way you do it, and if you want to do it right, the silverware should be pointing down.
No.
Oh, my God.
Wrong.
So the handles are on the top. Here's why. First, it's a little safer, especially with knives, because it's easier to cut yourself if you put them blade up. Plus, it's just more hygienic. If they're facing down, you'll only touch the handles, so the part of a spoon or fork that goes in your mouth won't get germs or smudges on it when you take them back out.
Well, listen here, Airedale. How come you want the water?
Iredale.
Whatever.
It's not a dog. Woof.
Well, you don't want the water to drip from the handle down to the eating surface. You want it to dry away from the eating surface.
Yeah, but I'm inclined to agree with Rob.
I was thinking.
And,
also,
you know what? It is safer. Be careful. Just don't go in there blindly swinging your hand around. You won't cut yourself.
He says if there's a difference in cleaning, it's marginal. So, Rob, I'm with Rob on that.
I just always felt like most of the, I guess, debris would be at the top of, or the sharp part or pointy part of the utensil. So you want that exposed so more jets get to
it. Yeah, drain down. Just absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, no. He's saying that he thinks it should be pointing down so the jets are closer to it.
In my dishwasher,
depends on a dishwasher.
The jets are above it.
Ooh, looks fancy.
Yeah.
In my humble opinion,
I don't have a dishwasher.
It doesn't matter where the jets are.
Sure you do. I've met her.
It doesn't matter where the jets are. They'll still beat the Giants. Thank you.
They did.
Trying to get that.
Sadly.
Just trying to get my interruption.
We both lost.
Did anyone have a better Veterans Day than this guy? 70-year-old Ernest Dotson served in the U.S. Army and lives in Greensboro, North Carolina. And he just came forward after winning $250,000 in the North Carolina lottery.
Good for him.
He bought a Cash 5 ticket for $1 last Thursday and didn't realize he'd won until the following day. Lottery officials announced his win yesterday for Veterans Day. He won just under $277,000 and took home $196,000 after taxes.
Awesome.
He says he'll use the money to pay off his house, his car, and buy a new TV. And he can't believe he's finally debt-free.
That's exactly great. I like that.
Very cool.
And, of course, since we can't finish with a happy story on this program, let's finish with a story from Florida, shall we?
Oh, okay. I like it. You live there.
Police in Florida are seeking information on the disappearance of an unusual piece of property, a 300-pound Bigfoot statue. Boynton Beach, my favorite town in Florida. Boynton. Boynton Beach police say the 8-foot-tall Sasquatch statue was stolen from in front of a store called Mattress Monsters in October. Bigfoot is missing, the department tweeted. Police are asking anyone with information on the missing statue to contact defective detectives.
That's Florida.
Thank you. Come on, police. Use your heads. Mattress Monsters. Figure it out. It's easy, okay? He's under the bed.
Of course.
300 pounds?
Yeah. I'm over here now, you know? Come on. He's under the bed. Hey.
I'm over here now.
You're looking for the monster in the wrong places. Check under the bed. It's a mattress store. There are plenty of British tabloids that'll tell you they saw this coming. Prince Harry, Meghan Markle, they announced yesterday that they're going to step back as senior members of the royal family. Don't ask me why this annoys me, but it does.
Me too. Some reason. I don't know. I can't put my finger on it.
It's her. It's all her.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean they're quitting or renouncing their fancy titles as the Duke and Duchess of Sussex.
Mm.
They just decided to, quote, carve out a progressive new role within this institution. Part of that carving includes becoming financially independent. They're also going to split their time between the UK and North America. Harry has a series on mental health in the works for Apple TV. They also want to be free to interact with the media in any way they see fit. The family currently participates in something called the Royal Rota system. It's basically a pool of British press that gets exclusive access to official engagements of the royal family. Harry and Meghan haven't been happy with how the British media have treated them. Harry recently complained about the way they've been trying to juice up a feud between him and his brother, Prince William. And Meghan said, quote, "The biggest thing that I know is that I never thought this would be easy, but I thought it would be fair. And that's the part that's really hard to reconcile."
She's trouble.
Meghan Markle. I so agree with Rob.
Read her quote again. It's the phrased biggest, like trouble.
The biggest thing that I know is that I never thought it would be easy, but I thought it would be fair, and that's the part that's really hard to reconcile.
May I add this?
Yes, go ahead.
If every little girl's and now boys,
yes,
a dream growing up is to be a princess,
right?
Why all of a sudden when she gets that dream does she decide?
The reality shows are better in Northern America.
Because this isn't a money thing. They have money regardless.
Right.
This is financially
independent kind of a joke.
You know what this is? This is what this is. This is what's wrong with these millennial f**ks. Because they don't realize how good they got it.
I agree with you. Yep. I'm there. We're all, rarely are the three of us completely a unified front, But we all feel this irritated me. Here's what let me continue.
And when you issue a statement to the world that starts out with the biggest thing,
right?
That's dumb.
No matter what happens, they say they still plan to quote honor our duty to the Queen, the Commonwealth, and our patronages. That means their charities. Sources say Harry and Meghan didn't clear any of this with the fam beforehand and threw it out there and threw them for a loop. The response from Buckingham Palace kind of backs that up. They said, quote, discussions with the Duke and Duchess of Sussex are at an early stage. We understand their desire to take a different approach, but these are complicated issues that will take time to work through. All right.
This was so shocking, Mike, that at Christmas dinner,
look,
Prince Philip released.
Here it is. I watched, if you watched The Crown, which is a great series with different actors that they put into the roles this year, you get a handle on the amazing heavy burden of being in this family and their responsibilities. But they also, the trappings that go along with it are pretty spectacular. And but at the same time, you've got this lady that got people through World War II and has been there for her country. And look, I don't care. I'm an Irishman. I'm from Irish descendants. I do not like the British tyrants of history.
Yeah, you want
but as far as this Meghan Markle, the
Meghan
millennial,
Barkle.
Who Oscar was Meghan Barkle, it's just, you're in there for 5 minutes. And you're bitching about it when you've got the Grand Am, who's 150 years old, who's sitting up there suffering in silence for her entire life. You think she's doing it because she digs it?
No.
You're barking up the wrong tree. So there's part of me that says it's great for the country of England that they've had this royalty and it's a consistent tradition they've had. You know, screw your personal happiness. You can find go to Saint-Tropez and hide out there.
Or,
it just irritates me a little bit.
If you're that against this whole process, why not pay back the kingdom for the wedding?
Yeah.
Buckingham Palace.
Precisely.
And what happened?
There's no good that's going to come of this.
What happened to the Harry of a few years ago when he was in Vegas with hookers? That's the Harry I like.
But you have a history.
He's
with
not going to get a marker now.
No. Get a marker.
You had Queen Elizabeth's uncle abdicate the throne for the woman he loves.
That's
not unusual.
That big dummy. I saw that on The Crown.
Right? But here's the thing. But what you do is, and I believe this, there had a, I think her name was Tina Brown, who was a royal writer writes about the royal family. She gets where they're coming from, but also says, you don't do it halfway. If you're out, you're out.
Yeah.
And if you're in, you're in.
You can't be in sales and programming.
Exactly.
Either talent or you're in sales.
I love doing this show. God, I'm glad to be back. Justin Bieber has been working on his mental health lately. Excuse me. I don't know why I hit the frog. But
yummy, yummy, yummy. Yeah,
thank you.
Yummy, yummy.
I don't know why.
Yummy, yummy. Great lyrics.
That is a long frog. Okay. Justin Bieber, in an Instagram post yesterday, he put it all out there. He said, while a lot of people kept saying Justin Bieber looks like poop on meth, etc., they failed to realize I've been recently diagnosed with Lyme disease. Not only that, but I had a serious case of chronic mono, which affected my skin, brain function, energy, and overall health. These things will be explained further in a docu-series I'm putting it on YouTube shortly.
I have one question about the Lyme disease. Is the tick okay?
He's strung out somewhere.
Yeah, he is. You can learn all that I've been battling and overcoming. It's been... Look, when they say that, they're not. I spent enough on
one PR person says, hey, let's go out on a limb with Lyme disease,
right?
Yeah,
and dye your hair pink. Yummy, yummy, yummy.
It's been a rough couple of years, aren't we cruel? But getting the right treatment that will help treat this so far incurable disease, and I will be back and better than ever. So that's
hold
that's,
it. You mean better than ever?
Better than ever.
How could that be?
Better Bieber.
Better Bieber.
2020.
And Leonardo DiCaprio was on a private yacht, and the crew picked up a guy that almost drowned.
That's good.
That's on there, too.
Thanks, Leo.
Let's see. Technology is getting us closer and closer to the point where we'll be able to have conversations with our dogs. This is the very first step. A Japanese company called Languilis just created a harness for dogs with a sensor that changes color based on how the dog is feeling.
Because dogs are so hard to read?
Relaxed, excited, happy, interested, or stressed. Those are the categories.
Yeah.
And the harness connects to an app on your phone so you can track your dog's moods over time.
Hey, why don't we put the harness on Justin Bieber? Track his health.
The company says they figured out how to detect a dog's emotions by studying heart rate patterns for dogs in different situations. The harnesses should go on sale in the U.S. sometime later this year. They're already on sale in Japan for around $37. Isn't that exciting? And now a little something. Yes. There's a 28-year-old woman named Shauna Joseph from Jersey City, New Jersey. She went to the DMV on Tuesday afternoon, and apparently she got very frustrated with the long line in front of her. So she did what everybody does. She started beating up the employees.
Nice!
She also smashed $23,000 worth of computers and equipment. And she kicked the police officers who came to arrest her. The cops found a cigarette on her that was laced with PCP. Shocker.
Is that still a thing?
She was arrested for criminal mischief, drug possession, aggravated assault, and hindering apprehension. When asked for comment, a rep from the DMV said, D-36? D-36? Thank you.
TMOS Classic.
Every year I tell myself I'll get better about meal planning, and every year life gets busy and it falls apart. What finally clicked for me is realizing that meals don't have to look one specific way. They just have to fit your life, and that's what Marley Spoon does. Life changes constantly now, and so does our relationship with food. The rules have changed. You can eat at the table, you can eat sitting or standing, alone or with others. Everyone's allowed to do it their way. And Marley Spoon is living the meal evolution with you, evolving to become your partner and ally in the new way of living and navigating the foodscape. They're here to help support the role food plays in your life and your food enjoyment while optimizing your time-stretched lifestyle. Marley Spoon has a wide range of ready-to-cook, ready-to-heat, ready-to-eat options, as well as market items that helps you stay stocked up on snacks and beverages for the between-meal moments. Your tastes, your preferences, your interests, culinary or dietary, are always covered. My favorite recent meal from Marley Spoon was the barbecued chicken with the pimento cheese grits, but don't sleep on the meatloaf with creamy mustard sauce. Both outstanding. So make sure to visit marleyspoon.com/offer/TMOS for 45% off your first order and free delivery. Huge deal. That's right. 45% off and free delivery at marleyspoon.com/offer/TMOS.
This episode is sponsored by Kalshi, the largest prediction market in the United States. Kalshi lets you trade on real-world events, peer-to-peer, instead of playing against a sports book. Kalshi is available across the country, including California and Texas, and it's a really fun way to put your predictions to the test. So here's how it works. You buy a yes contract if you think something will happen, or a no contract if you think it won't. So if you've got an opinion this weekend, like will the Seahawks win the big game this year, you can choose yes or no and trade on it. And you're trading with other users similar to buying and selling stocks. You can jump in and out of your position at any time to lock in a profit or cut your losses. Kalshi also offers combo trades where you can connect multiple predictions across different events to increase your potential payout. In short, Kalshi is where you put your money to where your prediction is. So download the Kalshi app and use the promo code SB60. When you deposit $10 and make a trade, you get your $10 back. That's promo code SB60 on Kalshi.
Why don't you do a nostalgia corner about Caddyshack?
Yes.
Or Animal House.
Something that has mass appeal.
Or something about Mary.
Yeah.
Or something. Why do you have to go back to the Marx Brothers and Gloria Swanson and people that are not only warm, they're long since been warm food. It's all dust now. Their skeletons are dust.
Well, the beautiful thing about the Nostalgia Corner is that there are no limits. And my interest.
We're setting limits on it.
Okay, Oscar, shut the f up.
Yes. Passion.
Jesus.
That's right, though. We're giving you parameters.
Yeah, but the thing about it is
don't
that
color outside the lines.
Who gives you positive feedback on Nostalgia Corner?
Yeah.
When you do one like the Marx Brothers or because I read them. I read there's some nice comments online.
I don't have any
you don't read your press?
No, I don't.
I don't pay attention. I don't pay attention to the comments.
Jack.
I don't pay attention to movie magazines because they're all junk.
Nothing jumps out really, but I'll say this. My interests are varied. incredibly. I mean, I like modern stuff. I do. But I do also like older stuff. So I can do newer stuff too, and it's just as entertaining for me. Don't talk.
Newer stuff.
Don't. No. This is between me and Mike right now, and you are like nails on
the
chalkboard.
Too.
Okay, go ahead. This is going to be good. It'll be worth it. Go ahead.
What is nostalgia to you? Like, what are we talking about? 70 years? 100 years?
Nostalgia is me thinking back to the great times before I knew you.
I'm down for that. That's what, 2004?
No, I would say nostalgia.
Let's bring those back.
No, I would say nostalgia would be defined by me as bringing back something that doesn't exist anymore in a fond
How long
memory.
Will your nostalgia corner
Today's
last?
Probably 8 or 9, 10 minutes. 10 minutes.
Let's do it. Right now.
Right now?
Let's do it right now.
All right,
yes,
can you
go
make
for
it five?
I can if you want.
No, this is fine. This is I'm ready for it.
98% on Rotten Tomatoes.
After
it's
giving
one of the greatest
him
movies ever made.
After, and I've seen the movie, and it is a good movie. After giving him that hard time, ladies and gentlemen, I now present Rob Spiewak, and I'll give you one Sunset Boulevard for one relatively modern history comedy.
All right. You know what? I know what I'll do. I will do next week, I will do The Blues Brothers, because it's one of our favorite movies.
No.
Why not?
No.
Why not?
No. No. Because The Blues Brothers is not that good a movie.
Hack.
It was a trendy movie. I'm talking about great classic comedies. All right.
All right.
Something About Mary, Caddyshack.
Caddyshack it is. Caddyshack
Animal
it is.
House.
I think Caddyshack
Arthur.
Has got.
Arthur.
Caddyshack has probably got the best backstory.
The Replacements.
Right. So,
the one with Keanu Reeves and Gene Hackman.
Very good. Blues Brothers. Right. Immediately right. Goes with his narrow little world.
One of the greatest musicals ever made.
It was not. The Blues Brothers.
The music in the Blues Brothers, are you kidding?
Oh, come on. You better think about what you're trying to do to me. Yeah, all right. But
wow.
Anywho.
This is going to land well, I feel.
All right, go ahead.
Okay.
I'm ready for
First,
Sunset
the thing you
Boulevard.
Need to know about before we talk about Sunset Boulevard, which came out in 1950, it's an example of a genre called film noir. Film noir sort of was birthed in the early 40s, and it had certain characteristics. The easiest way to think about it is a hard-boiled, like, detective movie, like a Maltese
very,
Falcon.
Very lit with lots of shadows.
Exactly.
And things like that.
And the thematics of film noir are predestination, like persons in the movie you already know at the beginning.
Is this music from Sunset Boulevard?
This is the overture from Sunset Boulevard, yeah.
Okay. Like Avengers. You already know the characters in the Avengers.
In a way.
Yes.
Yeah, you understand that. There's always a femme fatale, some evil woman that is going to have to do with the undoing of the man. There's also a lot of mirrors and reflections showing the dual sides of man. And that's not only done with mirrors,
like
but
in
with
Two-Face and Batman.
Like with water. Do you never notice in an old movie the streets are always wet? Like at night?
Yeah, that makes the streets look better on the camera, right?
Well, what it does is also shows reflections of light, which is another theme of film noir, and also just plain evil people. Now, when the movie Sunset Boulevard starts, it's not a spoiler alert, the lead character is floating dead in a swimming pool. So
okay.
You already know at the beginning of the movie that he's going to meet a bad ending,
like
right?
Phil Hartman. Sadly enough.
Well, a little bit. More yes. Like Mrs. Shatner.
Gotcha.
I don't know that Phil Hartman had a pool involved.
Hmm.
But anyhow, he starts with the voiceover. So he narrates the movie
Mama
about his own death. And he tells a story about a failed, it's talking about himself. He's a failed screenwriter who has to try to keep his car because they're going to repossess his car. So he is actually out trying to sell a script. The repossession men, the repo guys, see him and chase him. So he pulls off the road on Sunset Boulevard into what he thinks is an abandoned house.
Ooh.
And he hides the car. And right. That way, he'll get to keep it, right?
Unrealistic already because that's pricey property. Why would there be an abandoned house on that boulevard?
Well, the house looks abandoned. And this is also, remember, 1950. Hollywood was sort of going through a transition.
Got it.
You see?
I get it.
And so he pulls in there and he's immediately mistaken as an undertaker. Because this crazy old lady wants to bury a chimp. She's got
chimp.
A dead monkey. Oh. And she brings
him a monkey.
And this is, you see, and there are elements of dark comedy here because it's funny, you know, she's talking about the funeral for the monkey and the color that she wants for the coffin and all of this stuff. So he comes in and he finally reveals to her, he says, I'm not an undertaker, I'm a screenwriter. And then he recognizes the crazy lady.
Wait a minute, haven't I seen you before? I know your face.
Get out, or shall I call my servant?
You're Norma Desmond. Used to be in silent pictures. Used to be big.
I am big. It's the pictures that got small.
Uh-huh. I knew there was something wrong.
They're dead. They're finished. There was a time in this business when they had the eyes of the whole wide world. But that wasn't good enough for them. Oh, no. They had to have the ears of the world, too. So they opened their big mouths, and out came talk. Talk, talk.
That's where the popcorn business comes in. You buy yourself a bag and plug up your ears.
The thing about it is the overacting that you hear there actually works in this motion picture because she's nuts. And the whole movie is her unraveling and thinking she's going to make her big Hollywood comeback. She hires him to work on a script that she's working on.
Is she mad that she used to be a silent film star and now that there's...
talkies.
Audio?
Yeah. That's what makes her mad.
That's so weird.
And so another neat thing, this is a movie of Hollywood looking at itself. It's one of the first movies to actually do...
Was she a mute and she couldn't talk?
No, she could talk, but there was a time about 1927 when a lot of Hollywood stars just sort of went away because they couldn't act and talk. That's not how they were trained.
What about going from black and white to color? Did that affect Hollywood that way?
Not as much, but this movie was purposely shot in black and white, although Paramount wanted to do it in color to make it a bigger movie.
What about 1080 to 4K?
I don't know that that affected Hollywood as much
someone's pockmarks.
As television, right?
Yeah,
it's more of a television thing. So this is Hollywood looking at itself. There are people in here that actually play themselves that are Hollywood greats. Hedda Hopper, the most important advice columnist. Hopper, the most important gossip columnist of the time. Even Cecil B. DeMille plays himself in this movie. So she goes on and on. And what happens is she hires William Holden. And Mike, you'll remember William Holden from Network. He's great in that movie as well, but he's young in this movie, and he also, people might remember.
He was also in the Bridge on the River Kwai.
And Stalag 17, and he had a great role on I Love Lucy playing himself. He's a very funny guy, and he's good in this movie. She hires him to be like a script doctor.
And he's a young buck at this point.
Oh, definitely a leading man type. But what he doesn't
like Ryan Reynolds leading?
Noted alcoholic and heavy smoker too.
Oh, and also there was a Hollywood motto back then was call Bill Holden for hookers. He was also quite a...
Oh, really? He knew how to do that?
Yeah, he was quite the Lothario. But she was seduced...
What's a Lothario? What's the dictionary definition?
I think it's a type of watch.
No, it's a lover, sort of a guy who could get things done.
Oh, like Pete Davidson.
Well, I mean, why would you... A lover and getting guys is not a guy that would go out and get hookers.
Well, he was connected in that way. I think he was noted as a... perhaps Lothario was misused. I withdraw the
remark. I'll look it up. Go ahead. All right, please. Keep going.
So there was a lot of... action between the two of them as he's rewriting the script. He's really using her for money. He's getting paid to rewrite her script, but she's falling in love with him.
Oh.
And there's like date nights, and it's very creepy and it makes you very uneasy. And every night they actually watch a movie, a silent movie, in her living room, which is another chance to hear her do this great overacting.
Still wonderful, isn't it? And no dialogue. We didn't need dialogue. We had faces. There just aren't any faces like that anymore. Maybe one, Garbo. Those idiots.
She's talking about herself.
Yes.
Those imbeciles. Haven't they got any eyes? Have they forgotten what a star looks like? I'll show them. I'll be up there again, so help me.
Now, as you know, the dating doesn't go
Lothario
well.
Lothario is a man who behaves selfishly and irresponsibly in his sexual relationships with women.
Mm.
So I guess it could be part of it.
Yeah, it could be used. Yeah, absolutely.
Also known as a Smith.
So I like to think of this as the ultimate Hollywood film because it celebrates Hollywood while simultaneously showing how it destroys itself because of her vanity and all of this stuff. It hung around. It was nominated for 11 Academy Awards. It ended up winning 4. It is very highly rated. The Library of Congress has preserved it. The thing about it is that it has remained sort of in the national consciousness as recently, and let me get the date right, in 1993, they did a Broadway adaptation of it in London with Glenn Close playing Norma Desmond, and it ran for 190.
Perfect casting for the modern Nora Desmond.
I think it ran for like 193 performances. It was a hit.
Yeah.
And it's a great, great film. It leaves you feeling unsettled. It leaves you feeling uneasy. If you're a person who loves classic movies, it has a modern feeling while showing old Hollywood. And Oscar, you actually toured Paramount Studios, right?
Yes.
Great behind-the-scenes stuff at Paramount where you see the gate and the motion picture studios. And as I said, Cecil B. DeMille, one of the great directors of all time, who did the Ten Commandments, plays himself. But the ending of the movie is killer. And it is
creepy.
This
is Sunset Boulevard that Rob is talking about.
So
you got to go back to that occasionally and say, we're talking about Sunset Boulevard. Because you're assuming everybody knows what you know, but they don't.
Okay.
So got to remind people, here's a movie you need to watch. And I can back Rob up on this. This is an entertaining film. It's an entertaining black and white movie.
1950 is when it was made. And this last
9 years before I was born. I'm 62.
This is like the modern... I mean, this is an earlier version of Boogie Nights when they went from film to videotape.
You know, actually, that is the first valid thing you've said during the entire conversation.
No, it's not. You're lying.
But the ending where, and you already know that Joe Gillis is dead. I'll spare you how she died.
Who's Joe Gillis?
The guy, the lead character that was in the pool. Remember, the movie opens with
that part I don't remember. Okay. I just remember that it's William Holden.
It's like CSI. You see the crime before, and then they show
it's
us
It's William
how
Holden and
Gloria Swanson. William Holden is the one who's found dead in the pool in the first scene of the movie.
Is CSI film noir?
There are aspects of it you could say, but not really.
Okay. Is Gloria Swanson older than Greta Garbo?
Yes, but she's not that old in this movie. I think she was only like 50 in this movie, which is weird.
Is this normal? I get Gloria Swanson and Greta Garbo confused.
Absolutely, 100%. Okay, 100%. Right, that's good. Very common. Right. So at the end...
What about Hunts and Heinz ketchup?
The only way to get...
What Rob and I, a lot of people don't realize, Rob and I just took a really brief rest, but it's actually right after the layoff, and Rob and I went over to Munich where we had a wonderful show. We were known as a comedy team of Hunts and Heinz.
And it was great. All the music and beer
We
halls.
Did all the stuff we normally did, you know. We did but we did it with those accents, too, you know. What a great day it is, Hunts.
I want to ask you, Heinz, what if Charlie was running the tank?
Oh, it would be a disaster.
Good night.
It would be a total disaster, Hans.
Good night.
Auf Wiedersehen. Good night.
So the final scene, the lead character, Norma Desmond, is played by Gloria Swanson, has totally lost her mind. The only way to get her to leave her house is...
And she's a little scary. There's a horror element to this old, like 1920s mansion she lives in, and it's dark, and it's shadowy, and it's scary.
There's a famous film writer named Richard Corliss who described Sunset Boulevard as the ultimate Hollywood horror film.
Yes.
Because it really is. There are horrific things. So the only way they can get her to leave the house, press corps is there because there's been a horrible murder.
To tell her that something special is happening for her, right?
That she's going to shoot her last close-up. They have to let her think she's making a movie.
Mr. DeMille, do you mind if I say a few words? Thank you. I just want to tell you all how happy I am to be back in the studio making a picture again. You don't know how much I've missed all of you. And I promise you I'll never desert you again. Because after Salome, we'll make another picture and another picture. You see, this is my life. It always will be. There's nothing else. Just us. And the cameras. And those wonderful people out there in the dark. All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
And that creepiness is how Sunset Boulevard ends.
Who killed the person in the pool?
Well, you know what? I won't even say spoiler alert because the movie is 71 years old. Gloria Swanson shot him.
Shot him to death.
Yeah, because it was Gloria Swanson shot William Holden because he spurned her advances. There's another romantic subplot that she finds out about that I left out in the interest of time.
Oh, she murders William Holden.
And
I get it with that. One criticism with the film, and of course it's all the films of that era.
Yeah.
Overbearing soundtrack.
Yeah.
Score.
Yeah, Franz Waxman.
Bearing.
Yeah.
Not necessary with a...
Although I will say this, there is one effective device they use soundtrack-wise is the house, you talked about the creepy house, is almost a character in the movie because it is so big and so large and such a part of the story. There's a pipe organ. And when the wind blows, they set this up early on, when the wind blows, the pipe organ makes eerie sounds.
Mm-hmm.
So they have actual eerie sounds that are lightly in the background made by the organ that are actually built into...
We have a clip.
Like,
I have that pipe organ.
Yeah,
let me play a clip of it.
There
you go. I'm sorry.
Miss Swanson.
Miss Swanson, what a great sound. What do you have to say to that, William Holden?
Oh, good for you.
Okay.
So I think we brought that in under 10.
I look those, and like it always is. I always give you a hard time about it. Then I get a little sucked in. Mm-hmm. Your brother doesn't. He doesn't know what we're talking about.
He was especially helpful today, though.
Right. I understand.
Did you ever feel like you were watching a TV and you had the primary audio and the secondary audio on at the same time? That's kind of how that felt.
Yeah. And now I routinely watch everything I watch, which is disturbing me a little bit, with subtitles.
Julia
does
that.
Which is really starting to freak me. Yeah, I mean, I why? Because
why do you do it?
Because modern Hollywood is the land of mumbles.
Uh-huh.
Is the land of mumbles. The younger the actor, the more they mumble. That's the way it goes.
I actually disagree. Because Rob is right. The technology that we currently have, even if you have a sound bar, if you don't tune your sound bar correctly, you're going to get a lot of imperceptible speech. When I was in Los Angeles, they have that whole setup, and the kids watch TV with the subtitles on, because the televisions that are now built, unless you have one of those $5,000 Sony XBRs, whatever they're called,
right,
where the speakers are behind the screen and they're coming out at you,
sure,
the speakers are shooting down. Down towards the wall.
Mine do.
Same. I have the speakers
shooting down, and it is nuts.
When we were younger, think about the TVs we had. Even the
speaker was up front.
Sometimes a panel, a whole side of the TVs were set.
And you would go over to change it, and you'd change the channel, and your father would say, "Not so fast, you'll strip it."
Yeah.
This house came with a phenomenal sound system. However, I have on my little remote for it the program.
Mm-hmm.
So I can do drama, sports,
cinema.
But they're four or five, and then
porn.
You have porn, concert hall.
A lot of low end.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I got in trouble yesterday cuz I flipped on Monsters Ball.
Mhm.
And it's where Billy Bob is taking a trip. Let me see how do I phrase this? Well, it's after their first initial, which that's loud, and I understand that.
Yeah.
It's when Billy Bob Thornton and Halle Berry. Billy is introducing Halle to the ways of cunning magic.
I understand. Mm.
And she's reacting very loudly to this.
Isn't it funny how a really well-recognized piece of art, something that was embraced by critics and public alone,
right,
that when you can turn on to one moment and it ruins it for you,
feel good.
What was it?
Maybe you could you chop up the that scene and just the Halle Berry parts? Where she says, "Make me feel."
You could probably put just for your own personal use.
Yeah, for the show. I'd love one or two of those. I think it would be fun.
What happened?
I got yelled at because I believe the comment from Carlo was, "We have a child in the house."
Was it and like full surround sound in your?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I'm deaf.
Yeah.
And I have it. It's blaring out. So you
did you have
like,
subtitles that said "Make me
what?
Feel
I mean,
good"?
Yeah. It wasn't that scene. It was after that. There are two pretty heavy duty sex scenes with Halle Berry, which is a very weird movie, very dark.
Well, it's weird again. Movie. Like the time. What was that series that was so hot about
why?
6 months ago?
Why
about
are
the...
you looking over your shoulder?
I'll tell you later.
Okay. There was
all right.
The movie that was a TV,
a lot of activity,
streaming series about 6 months ago, where the guy actually defecated in the suitcase at the hotel. What was that show called?
White Lotus.
And,
the White Lotus.
And
yeah,
that was the one scene. Carrie had been streaming it all day. I came into the room knowing that one scene, and
that's
I said,
"So nasty!
What are you watching?"
That is so nasty. That 20 years ago, that never would have been allowed in a movie at all, and now you see it on a regular show.
They did it in Sunset
streaming
Bo-
show.
They
rather.
Did it on Sunset Boulevard.
Yes.
Oh,
Gloria
Swanson.
Oh my God.
But
no
luggage,
more odor than a hot biscuit.
Mike, the luggage was beautiful. It was a steamer trunk.
It was fantastic.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MichaelMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment.